Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Dark Wire by Joseph Cox is a work of investigative nonfiction about Operation Trojan Shield, also known in Australia as Operation Ironside, the multinational law enforcement sting built around the encrypted messaging platform Onum. The book explains how the FBI, with partners including Australian and European authorities, turned a criminal demand for secure phones into a surveillance channel that exposed drug trafficking, money laundering, weapons dealing, and planned violence. Cox situates Onum within the broader history of encrypted phone services used by organized crime, including earlier platforms such as Phantom Secure, EncroChat, and Sky ECC. The result is both a true crime narrative and a technology reporting project, focused on how encryption, trust, informants, jurisdiction, and institutional ambition intersected. Its purpose is not only to recount arrests and seizures, but also to examine the privacy and legal questions raised when authorities secretly run the communications infrastructure they are investigating. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Onum turned criminal trust in encrypted phones into the central weakness. The core mechanism of DarkWire is the inversion of a basic criminal assumption that a specialized encrypted phone sold through trusted underground channels must be safer than ordinary consumer technology. Cox shows that Onum succeeded because it appeared to fit an existing market. Organized crime groups had already used modified phones and closed communication networks to reduce exposure to conventional wiretaps, informants, and surveillance. Onum did not need to persuade criminals to adopt a new behavior. It only had to occupy a space that previous providers had made familiar. Its credibility came through distribution networks, word of mouth, and the reputation of people who appeared connected to the encrypted phone trade. This makes the sting more than a technical backdoor story. It is a study of social engineering at institutional scale. The FBI and its partners exploited not only code but also supply chains, dealer networks, and the psychology of exclusivity. The book emphasizes that security tools depend on trust, and when the trusted intermediary is compromised, even strong user habits can become liabilities. Secondly, the encrypted phone market created the conditions for the sting. Cox frames Onum as the product of an ecosystem rather than an isolated law enforcement idea. Before Onum, services such as Phantom Secure, EncroChat, and Sky ECC had helped normalize customized devices designed for private messaging, remote wiping, closed user groups, and concealed interfaces. Some users had legitimate privacy interests, but these systems also became attractive to drug traffickers and organized crime networks. When authorities disrupted or infiltrated earlier platforms, they created both intelligence opportunities and market gaps. Criminal groups still needed communication tools, and each takedown made them search for alternatives. DarkWire explains how that pressure helped Onum spread. The book is especially strong in showing that technology markets do not disappear simply because one provider is shut down. Demand moves elsewhere, often quickly. Law enforcement recognized this pattern and moved from attacking existing platforms to supplying one. That shift is crucial, instead of standing outside a criminal communications market and trying to break in. Investigators position themselves inside the market as the infrastructure provider. Thirdly, the operation depended on multinational coordination and legal boundaries. DarkWire gives significant attention to the practical complexity of a global sting. Onum messages crossed borders. Users operated in many jurisdictions, and participating agencies faced different legal limits on surveillance, evidence collection, and disclosure. The operation therefore required coordination among the United States, Australia, and European partners. But coordination did not mean uniform authority. Cox highlights the tension between operational ambition and legal constraint, especially when agencies wanted to exploit large volumes of intercepted communications without jeopardizing prosecutions or violating domestic rules. This dimension distinguishes the book from simpler accounts of cybercrime investigations. The challenge was not merely building a backdoor or collecting messages. It was converting intelligence into usable enforcement actions while preserving secrecy. Authorities had to decide when to arrest, when to keep watching, and how to prevent targets from discovering the source of the information. The result was a continuous balancing act between intelligence value and prosecutorial risk. The book shows that modern surveillance operations are as much about law and bureaucracy as technology. Fourthly, Cox portrays organized crime as a distributed global economy. One of the book's major contributions is its depiction of organized crime as a networked economy rather than a set of isolated gangs. Through the Onum operation, authorities could observe communications involving drug shipments, money movements, logistics, violence, and trust mechanisms across countries. Cox uses this access to show how criminal commerce can resemble legitimate global business in its specialization, outsourcing, and reliance on communications infrastructure. Participants needed brokers, transporters, couriers, storage sites, money handlers, and enforcement. The book also makes clear that the underworld is not technologically primitive. Criminal actors adapted to platform takedowns, used compartmentalization, and developed practical methods for verifying identities and moving value without conventional banking channels. This analysis matters because it explains why law enforcement victories can appear enormous and limited at the same time. A single platform can reveal many actors and transactions, but the underlying economic demand and logistical capacity remain resilient. Darkwire therefore treats organized crime as a system, not merely a cast of colorful offenders. Lastly, the privacy dilemma is central rather than secondary. Although Darkwire is written with the momentum of a true crime investigation, its ethical question is fundamental: what happens when the state secretly operates a communications platform in order to surveil its users? The targets of Anom were largely serious criminals, and the operation produced arrests and seizures that are difficult to dismiss. Yet Cox also examines the broader implications of normalizing backdoored communication systems. The book does not present encryption as a simple shield for wrongdoing. Instead, it places criminal abuse of secure messaging beside the legitimate need for private communication by journalists, lawyers, dissidents, businesses, and ordinary citizens. This balance gives the book its intellectual weight. The Anom case shows why governments want exceptional access, but it also demonstrates how powerful and intrusive that access can become when scaled globally. Cox raises the question of control. Once an agency builds and distributes a surveillance tool, operational incentives may push it toward wider use. The result is a case study in how crime-fighting can test the boundaries of democratic oversight. In conclusion, Darkwire is best suited for readers interested in true crime, cybersecurity, surveillance law, organized crime, and investigative journalism. It offers practical insight into how encrypted phone markets function, why trust networks matter as much as technical design, and how law enforcement converts digital access into arrests and seizures. It also provides intellectual value for readers concerned with privacy because it treats the Anom operation as both an investigative success and a warning about state power. Compared with many true crime books, it stands out by focusing less on a single criminal personality and more on infrastructure: phones, apps, supply chains, informants, servers, legal processes, and international cooperation. Compared with many cybersecurity books, it is unusually grounded in human behavior and criminal logistics rather than abstract technical vulnerability. Cox's reporting makes the case significant beyond the novelty of the sting. The book shows that modern crime and modern policing increasingly compete over platforms, not just people. Its distinctiveness lies in that overlap: a law enforcement caper, a study of illicit globalization, and a privacy debate contained in one narrative. Readers looking for a clear account of how digital trust can be weaponized will find it especially valuable. If you would like to support Joseph Cox, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.